The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 27, Text Number 3, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 23rd, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tena Samsara Paravim Avasha Abhyeti Anirrita Pasangikai Karma Doshai Sat Asat Mishra Yonishu Tena Sansara Paravim Avaso bhyetya nirvrita Tasangikai karma doshai Sadasan mishrayonishu Tena sansara paravim Avaso bhyetya nirvrita Tasangikai karma doshai Tadasan mishrayonishu Tena by this samsara of repeated birth and death Paravim the path Avasha, helplessly. Abhyeti, he undergoes. Anirrita, discontented. Asangikai, resulting from association with material nature. Karma doshai, by faulty actions. Sat, good. Asat, bad. Mishra, mixed. Yonishu, in different species of life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned soul, therefore, transmigrates into different species of life, higher and lower, because of his association with the modes of material nature. Unless he is relieved of material activities, he has to accept this position because of his faulty work. Purport. Here the word karma doshai means by faulty actions. This refers to any activity, good or bad, performed in this material world. They are all contaminated, faulty actions because of material association. The foolish conditioned soul may think that he is offering charity by opening hospitals for material benefit, or by opening an educational institution for material education. But he does not know that all such work is also faulty because it will not give him relief from the process of transmigration from one body to another. It is clearly stated here, Sadasan Mishra Yonishu. This means that one may take birth in a very high family, or he may take his birth in higher planets among the demigods for his so-called pious activities in the material world. But this work is also faulty because it does not give liberation. To take birth in a nice place or a high family does not mean that one avoids undergoing the material tribulations, the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. A conditioned soul under the spell of material nature cannot understand that any action he performs for sense gratification is faulty, and that only his activities in devotional service to the Lord can give him release from the reaction of faulty activities. Because he does not see such faulty activities, he has to change to different bodies, some high and some low. That is called samsara padavim, which means this material world from which there is no release. One who desires material liberation has to turn his activities to devotional service. There is no other alternative. So, in this world, people become very proud. Oh, I'm doing some very pious work. I'm opening hospitals. I'm funding educational institutions, donating to the universities, etc., etc., etc. But as Srila Prabhupada points out, this is faulty. It's all faulty. Anything which does not deliver you from this material world is faulty. They have no conception of being beyond this material world. Therefore, they think their happiness is to become better situated in this material world. I remember many years ago, in my youth, I was working at one summer camp as a guitar counselor. And sometimes the counselors, we would talk amongst ourselves. I remember one of the other counselors said, "You have to take the good with the bad." In other words, there's no such thing as pure happiness. This was the philosophy. You have to suffer. The idea was, you have to suffer. There's no way out of it. Well, I didn't like that idea. You have to take the good with the bad. Sorry. I want only good, you see. I want only good. So, by grace of Krishna, I found that it was really good, you see. Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that happiness which is purely good. There's the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So material mode of goodness, it's also good, but it's not purely good. Why? The material mode of goodness is material because it's still mixed with passion and ignorance. It's not pure goodness. It's only when that goodness becomes completely free of any tinges of passion and ignorance that it becomes pure goodness. And when it's pure goodness, there's no badness also, you see. Passion and ignorance are two different types of badness. If I can coin it, and that term doesn't really exist. You know what I mean? Is there such a word, badness? Anyway, we can use that term. English is like that. You can invent new terms. Goodness mixed with badness, you see. That's material goodness. But goodness completely free from badness, that is pure goodness. That is devotional service to Krishna. Anything which forces you to take birth again, even it may appear to be good, is also bad. This is the point that Prabhupada is making. What appears to be good in this world is not good. So real goodness comes from Krishna. Krishna teaches us what it actually means to be good. And that pure goodness, there's complete, total happiness. Brahma-sukham dvanantam. There is happiness which goes on increasingly forever. You see? That is what every living entity is actually hankering for. But they're looking in the wrong places. That is the difficulty. Because they still believe that they are their bodies, they try to find that happiness through their material senses. But it is not possible to get that happiness through material senses. It's like trying to enjoy sweet rice by sticking your shirt sleeve in the sweet rice. It's not possible to enjoy the sweet rice by sticking your shirt sleeve in the sweet rice. If you want to enjoy this sweet rice, you put it in your mouth. You see, then you can enjoy it. So just as it would be absolutely asinine to try to enjoy sweet rice by sticking your shirt sleeve in it, it is similarly asinine to try to enjoy happiness by simply engaging your material senses in it. Because it's not you. It's a covering. It's a garment you're wearing. That's all it is. Your material body is simply a garment. So why take so much care for the garment? I mean, you take some care for the garment. Just like, you know, I have my kurta here. I have it washed regularly, iron, you know. When it gets ripped, I may repair it. Or if it gets too torn, I throw it away. You see? So you take good care of your garment. But if I were to think this kurta is me, would I be considered a sane man? Father, this is me? Is it? So similarly, if I think I'm a male or a female, it's insane. We're not these bodies. I'm not white, black, Indian, American, Australian, whatever it may be. Simply an illusion to think that this is me. So the first position or the first step to take on the pathway of self-realization is you have to be absolutely, totally convinced that you are not that body. That's the very beginning stage. Prabhupada said, first convince them that they are not their bodies. Because once you have that conviction, you see, then you realize your happiness then is not really what you experience on the bodily plane. That is not where your real happiness is actually at. Your real happiness then is on the spiritual plane. So then the trick is, or the science is, how to get your consciousness fully fixed on the spiritual plane. Because we're living in a material society where we're being totally oriented toward the body. And that we're conditioned by that wherever you go. Every billboard, every web page, every advertisement, every class taught in the university, every song on the radio. I mean, it's all simply conditioning us to think that we're the bodies. So how do you break out of what can be called a mass psychosis? How do you get free from the mass psychosis? Is it? You have to be fortunate, actually, to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, come in contact with the Vedic wisdom. And if you open yourself up to hear that submissively, then you can actually get that realization. I'm not my body. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm spirit soul. And then you can actually try to act on that platform according to the directions of the scriptures and the spiritual master and the devotees. You can try then to act on that platform just to see what happens. And if you actually do it properly in the right mood, then you experience transcendental awakening within your heart. You have an awakening of higher consciousness within your heart, which convinces you then, I think I'd like to continue doing this because I'm actually tasting, experiencing something more sublime than I've ever experienced in all of my life that I can ever remember. So let me go deeper into this. And the deeper you go, the sweeter it gets. And finally you get deep enough where you actually realize fully your eternal identity in the spiritual world. That's a very high level, but that's coming for each of us. If we stick to this pathway, that golden day will come and we actually become fully awakened in our vision of a loving relationship, our rasa with Krishna. Now we cannot jump to that. We have to just perform our sadhana very faithfully to our spiritual master. You see, it's following his instructions. But just by being very dedicated to our spiritual master, always first serving him faithfully in all times, all places and all circumstances, that keeps us solidly situated on this path of spiritual awakening, which will take us eventually to our vision relationship with Krishna. Now we solidify a relationship with our spiritual master. That's our rasa now. I am simply a disciple of my spiritual master. That is my rasa. And that rasa never goes away. Even in the perfectional stage in the spiritual world, you will still recognize, here is my spiritual master. And I'm eternally indebted to him for bringing me back to this, my original place, my original identity here in the pastimes of Krishna. So there perhaps there's some questions, I can try to answer them. Anyone have a question? Okay, so the first question here, is it not very important to study Aristotle, Plato, along with Vedic philosophy? It's not necessary to study Aristotle and Plato, although I did study them myself. I call him Aris Bagel, because actually Plato was in the line of taking knowledge, what's called descending knowledge, from the previous teachers. Aristotle opened up the whole plane of mental speculation. Plato, you see, the Greek kings were actually descent from India. The whole Greek culture is a spin-off of Indian culture. That's why they have the demigods in the Greek. The Greeks have demigods. It's a spin-off of Vedic culture. So if you study Plato, and who was actually a disciple of Socrates, you will see that many of the concepts are Vedic concepts, and they were passed down from the previous teachers. But Aristotle took the whole thing. He opened up Western empiricism. So it's interesting. I took a course on Greek philosophy from an old college friend of Makuna Maharaj. He and Makuna Maharaj were buddies in college. I took a course on Greek philosophy from him many years ago. And I appreciated how Socrates and Plato were actually in many ways aligned with Vedic philosophy, whereas Aristotle just took it completely into, he opened up Western empiricism. How can a university be faulty? They also have a branch of religious study. If they don't teach the students how to get out of the cycle of birth and death, then that is faulty. Because the first step in education is to teach that you're not your body. I've attended various universities. I went to Austin College in Sherman, Texas. I went to University of Texas in Austin. I went to University of Oklahoma. I went to Metropolitan State College in Denver. And in none of the courses did they ever tell me I was not my body. Not one professor ever told me that I'm not my material body, you see. So my experience was of the universities and the colleges, they're not doing their job properly of educating. The senses go here and there, so how to control the senses? Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. By engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses, that's how they become controlled. Instead of looking at pretty girls, look at pretty Krishna, etc. Why do we chant Hare why do we chant the pranam mantra of our spiritual master? Because that is Krishna's instruction. If you want to be my devotee, you have to be the devotee of my devotee. It is Krishna's order given to Arjuna. Ye me bhakti jana partha, no me bhakti te janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakti tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So in the order of Krishna, we worship our spiritual master. How the Uddhava Gita is superior than the Bhagavad Gita? Why do you say that it's superior? Bhagavad Gita is Raja Vidya, the topmost knowledge. How can I erase all memory And just remember, only Krishna and his devotees. Actually, you can't erase all your memories, but you can use your memories in Krishna's service. Remember how miserable you were before you came to Krishna consciousness? I sure do. That's a good memory. You can remember, wow, I was really horrible when I wasn't Krishna conscious. That's good. You can take your memories and purify them by seeing them from a spiritual viewpoint. Not that you have to just blot them out. You can transcendentalize all your memories of your previous activities. The material world is temporary. Does it mean temporary or faulty? Is Krishna's energy faulty? Because Prabhupada had mentioned faulty here in the verse, you see. In the purport, he's talking about faulty. Karma doshai, faulty actions. The material nature is actually not faulty, but to misidentify with it, that is faulty. The material nature is actually there to help us come back to Krishna. It's a safety net. In other words, instead of when you deviate from Krishna, you do not become annihilated, but you become rehabilitated. The material nature is actually meant to rehabilitate you and to bring you back to Krishna consciousness. That's what it's actually for. It's a rehabilitation institution. We are not yet in pure goodness. Do you say, while we do devotional service? I experience that I do it in passion and ignorance or goodness, depending on my mood and enthusiasm. Yes, our devotional service now is tinged by the modes of material nature, but if you continue to follow the instructions of your spiritual master faithfully, follow Prabhupada's teachings very faithfully, then gradually the tinges of passion and ignorance will become less and less and less, and you become situated eventually in pure goodness. Why devotees consider seeing the astrology chart when Prabhupada said that only karmis get it done? I don't know. You can ask them. I personally am not interested in it because I know that Krishna is beyond astrology and he can do anything he wants to with me, whether the stars approve it or not. So I just sort of put myself into the hands of directly under Krishna's hands and not worry about the demigods. Astrology means under the demigods' control. You see? I'm not interested in being controlled by the demigods. I'd rather say, okay, demigods, if you want to facilitate my service, that's fine, but I just report to Krishna, and whatever he wants to do with me is fine, and I don't really care about you guys. What do you think I should do, or where do you think I should be, what do you think should happen to me? I'm putting myself completely in Krishna's hands, so I'm not interested in astrology. But the arrangement of the demigods. How can I worship Prabhupada? Well, come to Guru Puja every day. Or you can do Guru Puja at home also. A child asked that question. Nice. We easily believe all mundane philosophy, but why not Krishna's philosophies? Yeah, this is our disease. We immediately think some mundane thing is very nice, you see. But with some wonderful thing, Krishna thing, we think, oh, I don't know about that. This is our disease. From material conditioning, we tend to appreciate material things more than spiritual things in our conditioned state. That's why we have to become purified by taking prasadam, by chanting Hare Krishna, by associating with devotees. We can become freed of this tendency to be more attracted to material nature than to spiritual nature. I want to distribute Prabhupada's books, but I'm afraid to go on the streets. Is there any other way I can distribute Prabhupada's books? There's a nice list of 42 items that I just posted on the for my students on my e-course. 42 ways you can distribute books. And only one of them is on the street. There's 41 other things you can do. So if you'd like to get that list, just send me an email, sda@backtohome.com. I'll send you that list of 42 ways you can distribute books. Everybody can be a Sankirtan warrior. There's so many ways you can distribute books. It doesn't matter what your occupation is, what your gender is, what your age is. Everybody can be distributing Prabhupada's books in any situation. This list is an amazing list. It gives all kinds of tips, little things you can do, like when you go on an airplane, you have the magazine rack, put a book in there. The next passenger will get a blessing. It's an example. It's one of the 42 items, you know. So there's many, many things you can do. How to find somebody who is a good book distributor and go out with them. That's the way to really get learned in it quickly. Be, you know, carry the book bag for a book distributor. And just watch and see how he does it. Book tables are also very good. Work a book table. So this will give you many more ideas. How to come over material life to Krishna consciousness. Well, Krishna says you have to take shelter of Guru and Vaishnavas. In this way you will do it. Sometimes if we do work, mind doesn't let us to work. That's another question. Okay, is it necessary to be very serious in Krishna consciousness? Because my mood from childhood is very funny and happy. I can tell you that if you actually wanted to experience the true bliss of Krishna consciousness at every minute, you have to be very serious. If you take it frivolously, like, ha 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 ha, all the time, you're missing something. But if you actually catch and you actually take it very seriously, you will achieve a state of happiness like Prabhupada's, you know. When Prabhupada laughed, Sally Agarwal explained his laugh was oceanic. It took in the whole universe, you see. So you could have a little, feverish giggle, or you can actually have a type of happiness which is so total in its completeness that your laugh can take in the whole universe. So I would recommend go for serious happiness, not frivolous happiness. Why do you suggest to homeschool children? How will they live in this fast-paced world? Because they will actually outpace the karmis by doing so. The good example is our guru, Ravi Gupta. He's now a big college professor. But he was homeschooled by his mother in Utah. And at what age do kids usually enter the university? What age for freshmen in college? Like 16, 17? Yeah. He entered at age 13. He was 3 years ahead of the other students because he was homeschooled. So if you want to be fast-paced, homeschooling is the way to do it. Because the karmi school is slow-paced. But a homeschooling is fast-paced. You can outpace the karmis by getting homeschooling.
What is it? It's a girl who was homeschooled. She had graduated at 6. And
she's just a couple of years ahead. She's
a couple of years ahead.
She's 2 years ahead, yeah. And also we have your son is how many grade levels ahead for his age? One grade level ahead. So we have experience with homeschooling. These kids actually go beyond what the karmic kids are doing. If you want your kid to really be, you know, ahead of everybody else, homeschooling is the way to do it. You'll be ahead of it, the karmic kids. I'm confused. Should I homeschool or send to a good private school? If there's a devotee private school, that's okay. But if it's karmi, homeschooling is better. One may be convinced about not being this body, but it's really hard living in the world and practicing this philosophy. Even as a devotee, some important steps I can take to be fixed up in this path. Well, actually, initiation is very helpful. If you take a spiritual master and become completely sold out servant of your spiritual master, that will really situate you practically in Brahman realization or spiritual realization. If you take the order of your spiritual master as your life and soul, and then you have one authority only now, and that's your spiritual master and the previous acharyas. If you take that mood, then you'll be beyond the material existence, not just theoretically, but practically. If I homeschool a child, what should be the main teaching? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
If I homeschool with the material curriculum based on Bhagavatam and spiritual
books. Ravi Gupta learned how to read. They have the primers for kids, right? His primer was Srimad Bhagavatam. He learned to read from the Bhagavatam. As a little kid learning how to read, he learned how to read in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he got really ahead of the other kids fast. They were studying. When I was a kid, I forget what we used to read, something about Dick or Tom or something. Sally, I forget what it was, the primer we had. His primer was Bhagavatam. And now he's a huge, big PhD Sanskrit professor in the university. He's a very learned person. Very successful in the material world. What was Prabhupada's view on teaching Bhagavatam to children? Children come, and Prabhupada started the Gurukula. The kids came every day for Bhagavatam class. I was there in the beginning, in the first Gurukula in Dallas. The kids came every day for Bhagavatam. What are the main issues with the modern education for children? Illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. Srimad Bhagavatam has some advanced and adult topics. Can we teach it to children? Absolutely. That way they'll become very learned very quickly. There's a lot of stuff on homeschooling here. If I homeschool my child, will she miss something? Who will be their friend? Who will be her friend? Her friends will be the other devotees. That in the material schools, who are their friends? These some guy who wants to have illicit sex with them. I'm a person who gets annoyed so easily, so how to control mood swings when dealing with devotees? Remember, the devotees are very dear to Krishna and treat them accordingly. Is it okay to spend time alone? I like to be a loner. Well, do you chant 16 rounds every day? Take your loner tendency and dovetail it fully into quality japa. And come out of your cocoon and engage in this in the sight of devotees every day. If we are not the body, then why Prabhupada says women are less intelligent? Prabhupada told my god sister, you're only less intelligent if you think that you're a woman. Huh?
If we see the details about the women, they are less intelligent.
If one identifies with the material body, they are less intelligent.
Otherwise, why would they want to be living like that? Taking the bad side in the material world, trying to think that they are independent. And they are corrupted by unscrupulous men. Taking the responsibility of killing the baby in the womb or asking begging from the government. Less intelligent. Although they may be like very highly educated materially, they can do better work than men, but they are less intelligent. They are corrupted by unscrupulous men.
Yeah, now that women become, their so-called liberation, they become more corrupted and polluted. That's about. now they're having babies, and they have to either kill them by abortion, or they go to the government to beg welfare.
How many babies are killed every day?
66,000 babies are killed every day. Can you imagine? 66,000 babies are murdered every day on this planet right now. Today, 66,000 babies will be murdered. And they call this women's liberation. Therefore, less intelligent.
But Maharaj, they said that on the name of feminism, it's going on in Australia at the university, and they said that the women are the equal, they have equal everything. By the intelligence, by the rights, and just on the name of humanity, they say that we have this all the right to become the leaders, right to become the preachers, right to become the spiritualists, everything. And so for a long time, the man has been dominated in this field, and they have oppressed the woman. So it is the time to get the liberation.
What is he saying?
He says that the women are taking, in the name of feminism, they are taking the role of the leadership, and they want to be equal with the men. All the men have been lording it over.
Yeah, that's going on.
That's how they came to that the women should be liberated, and now the women think they are liberated, but actually they are not liberated at all. Woman leads movements started then only.
Yeah, actual liberation is to get free from the bodily concept. As long as I think I'm a man or a woman, then I'm still caught up in material consciousness. Actual liberation for the soul is to realize I'm not the body. Anybody who's on this body, who wants to stay in the bodily plane and emphasize the bodily identification, they're not liberated. They're remaining caught up in karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death.
Prabhupada says, just like in our bodies, there is a head, there is a belly, there are hands, and there are legs, and everybody should be functioning accordingly, whatever their position is.
Yes, I'm a male. I am a male body. Wow. I am a male body. I am a male body. How you can say such a foolish thing? I am a male body. You're not the body. I am a male body, and having understanding that we are not the body, I get attracted to the opposite sex, then I feel that I am being a hypocrite. What to do? Stop thinking you're a male body. That's your problem. If I think I'm a male, then I have to get excited when I see a female, isn't it? But if I don't realize I'm not a male, I'm an eternal spiritual being, and by my karma I've gotten this body in this lifetime. I've been a woman also many times. I've been a man. I've been everything. So why should I get all excited about what's going on in the bodily plane? Let me get off the bodily plane. What does it really mean to beat our mind with shoes and brooms? Reminding yourself that you're a fool and a rascal for having given up Krishna consciousness and coming here to be an enjoyer of this world. I'm very honest, and I tell things as they are. Sometimes devotees do not like it. Well, truth is supposed to be told in a palatable way also. I get attracted by Mataji's in the temple. That's a question. Well, why don't you get married then? And, you know, what can I say? What is the difference between intelligent and initiated and non-initiated devotee? Really, it matters that if we go back to Godhead. Well, the initiation means now you've made your commitment. Prabhupada actually explains in the Nectar Devotion, initiation is required, it's not an option. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to be initiated. In other words, you haven't made that total commitment that now I fully belong to my spiritual master. Then you're not qualified by Krishna doesn't accept you as his devotee. He says, unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So you have to get initiated. There's really no, you have to. Otherwise, you're not going to go back to Godhead. But initiation isn't enough. Once you're initiated, you have to be fully obedient to your spiritual master. Prabhupada explains in the next devotion, the first steps in the path of bhakti are shelter, diksha, and obedience. Many devotees get initiated, but they don't obey their spiritual master. They don't follow the regulated principles. They don't chant their rounds. Such persons will not go back to Godhead. To go back to Godhead, you have to take shelter and diksha and then be fully obedient to your spiritual master. And that will liberate you from this material existence. If Krishna says that once we reach the spiritual world, we do not fall down again, so if that is the case, then how did we fall down in the first place? Note the word again. You can't fall down again. It means you can fall once, but you can't fall twice. Punna janma na vidyate. Punar means again. So you can fall once, but you can't fall twice. Although you could, but you won't. The free will is always there, but as it is sometimes said, once burned, twice shy. You can stick your hand in the fire once, but you won't do it again, because you learn. I learned because I got burned. So we've been burned by the material nature. Once we go back to Godhead, even though we have the freedom to leave if we want to, we'll never leave again. Therefore, falling once you can do, but you won't fall twice. Is it okay to chant my rounds on the train or tram if I am not able to chant my rounds in the morning? Yes. It's not as good, but it can be done. It's necessary. It's like I had to chant my rounds on the airplane. I was flying from Johannesburg to Sydney, and what can I do? It's a 14-hour flight? 12-hour flight, yeah. You had to chant your rounds on the airplane. It's not the big, because the roar of the plane was so loud. I could hardly even hear my rounds, but it's just like I'm going Hare Krishna, I'm going shh. All you can hear is the airplane. But still, you have to do it. What can you do? I had to chant my rounds, and so I chanted on the airplane because there was no other place to do it. I couldn't get off the airplane and chant my rounds. Last night you mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like devotees with mustache and beard. Yes, that's correct. Prabhupada said that. Lord Chaitanya wanted all of his followers to be clean-shaven, but he couldn't complain about Advaita Acharya since Advaita Acharya was his senior. And so how come Gaurika Sarabhas Babaji had a beard? That's an interesting question. You can ask him. But we know what Prabhupada's standard was for us. Yes, if you come to that level, then it's okay. I like Krishna consciousness very much, but when it comes to rules and regulations, I don't like them. Well, you're not, then you don't know what is Krishna consciousness, Prabhu. Krishna consciousness means you do what Krishna likes you to do, and you don't do what Krishna doesn't like you to do. Love means service. So you serve Krishna by avoiding the things he doesn't want you to do. What does it mean by Guru Nishtha? Guru Nishtha, to become fixed. To become fixed and surrender to one's spiritual master. Can we serve the Guru and we see him only once or twice a year? You know something? Once or twice a year, you're living in the lap of luxury. You know how often we saw Prabhupada? I can think. I got initiated in 71. I saw him once in 71. I saw him in 72. I didn't see him in 73. I didn't see him in 2 years. I didn't even see him at all. In 75, I saw him once. So I saw him in 71. In 72, I didn't see him in 73 or 74. I saw him in 75. I didn't see him in 76 or 77. And you're seeing your guru once or twice a year? You're living in the lap of luxury. I sometimes had to go for years before I saw Prabhupada again. It would take me 3 years sometimes I had to wait. You see, from 72 to 75 I had to wait to see him again. So the real thing is you have to be dedicated to your spiritual master's order, and then the spiritual master is with you at every minute, you see. In 1971, when I accepted Prabhupada as my guru, I hadn't even seen him yet at all. But at that moment, he entered into my heart, and he's been there ever since. So you have to learn how to capture your spiritual master within your heart by total dedication to him. And then you will never be separated from your guru for all of eternity. That is the secret of how to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Can we substitute chanting with Bhagavatam class? Like chanting too, but I don't have enough time. Now you cannot say, well, I went to Bhagavatam class instead of chanting my 16 rounds. You can't do that. Prabhupada said you chant your 16 rounds and attend Bhagavatam class. How chanting along with devotees helps us to chant nicely when everyone is chanting so loudly, I cannot concentrate on chanting. Well, if the japa is going on too loud, you could chant and go out in the courtyard and chant. Not that you have to, you don't have to be in it. If it's, there's so many devotees chanting japa and you can't concentrate, you can always go upstairs to Prabhupada's room. You can make some arrangement, it's okay. Can a devotee progress spiritually if he has an attachment for sex? Sure, by engaging in a Krishna service, by having Krishna conscious children. You can use your sex attachment for Krishna. Why so much stress to give it up? Isn't that fanaticism? No, it's not fanaticism at all. Sex is what binds us, and sex desire is what binds us to this material world. Am I fanatic if I tell you what you have to do to go back to Godhead? Is that fanaticism? What is that? Yan maitanaiti grihamedi sukham itu cham. That means Bhagavatam is... You think Bhagavatam is fanaticism? Srimad Bhagavatam is fanaticism? You think Srila Vyasadeva is a fanatic? How you can think such things? Yan maitanaiti grihamedi sukham itu cham. That which is considered the greatest happiness for materialists, namely sex intercourse, it's considered by Vaishnavas to be simply 10th class. Is that fanaticism? Bhagavatam is fanaticism? How you can think such things? Where is the first temple in India? I don't know. I know the first ISKCON temple. Where was the first ISKCON temple? What was the first ISKCON temple? Mayapur?
Mumbai.
Mumbai? Yeah, I don't know which one was actually established first. I would suspect Mayapur. It was a little grass hut. I want to serve devotees, but my false ego again and again comes in between. Well, leave your false ego with your shoes outside. That's all. Say, okay, false ego, you stay in the shoes. And I'm going to go serve the Vaishnavas. Why do we love to chant? Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Why this number? Because we're very fallen. The actual standard is 64 rounds, but Prabhupada adjusted it to 32 because we're very fallen, and we couldn't even do that. So he said, okay, 16. That's a special concession for us fallen souls whose minds are so splayed out we can't focus on anything for a few minutes without going crazy. So it's a special concession for us, 16 rounds. How by chanting 16 rounds will take me back to Godhead? No, you have to avoid the offenses also. Simply chanting with offense, it will purify you if you keep chanting, but only when you come free of all the offenses will you be able to go back to Godhead. Why did Krishna ask Arjuna to worship Lord Shiva for benediction? Is that mentioned somewhere? Is this a true thing? I don't. That's something. I'm not familiar with that pastime. How can I spiritualize my job activity by donating as much as you can of your income to support the Krishna consciousness movement? How can I work for Krishna full-time without joining the ashram? Start your own ashram. And the, you know, you can kind of, if you, sometimes devotees would, they just couldn't work in a temple. Prabhupada would let them go be a leader in another temple. Another thing is, you could. I know one devotee. He just distributes books. That's all he does. He lives. He travels. He had a van. He travels all over and distributing books full time. He does it. He does it on his own. Actually, just a very inspired householder. He just travels all over distributing books. He says he wants to take birth after birth until everybody in the planet has Prabhupada's books. Can you imagine that mood? He wants to take birth. He's so intoxicated by book distribution. He says, I want to take birth after birth until everybody has the Prabhupada's books. He told me personally. My mind is always so restless, which leads to anger. How to stay calm? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we chant the Maha Mantra, what should we chant? Krishna or Krishna? Rama or Ram? It's interesting. You can hear Prabhupada doing both on each chance of japa. It's interesting. When you say Ram, actually you're saying Rama, but it's subtle. You can't say a consonant without a vowel. Ram. If you say it, you'll hear there's an other. You can't avoid it. You have. If you pronounce out Ram, there's a subtle O there. But you can make it obvious or it's there subtly, either way. The A is always there. Either it's subtle or it's more obvious. You can hear a taper. Prabhupada's going, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You can hear Prabhupada saying that. So either way is okay. Some of the description in the Bhagavatam are beyond our imagination. How can I remind myself that I cannot understand everything? In other words, how can I have faith in it even though it's beyond my comprehension? It's important you understand that you need to have faith. The fact is that there's nothing that's exaggeration or false in the scriptures. It's beyond what we experience in our ordinary daily life now because we're very covered by the modes of material nature. For example, God exists, but can you see Him? God is there. He's the source of all existence. He's fully present. Krishna is fully present right now in this spiritual world. So one should have faith in the scriptures, because by that faith in the scriptures and by following the injunctions of the scriptures, your senses will become sufficiently purified where you can personally experience these things.
Prabhupada gives the example. You are existing. Can you see yourself?
When you look in the mirror, do you see yourself? You see a covering of the self. So even our very selves, we're not able to perceive our very selves fully. What to speak of what lies beyond myself? How is the concept of ethics explained in Vedic philosophy? I'm not reading it correctly. Ethos? Ethics? I don't know. I can't make out with the handwriting. People are proud, so how to become the servant of the servant of the servant? A child has written this. Yeah, we do have this tendency, very proud and puffed up, not to want to serve anyone. So we just, even if you don't feel like serving, do it anyway. Because then by doing it, you will actually learn to love it. And then that false pride will gradually go away. Understand, I have a need to get free of this false ego. So let me serve anyway, even if I don't feel like it. and then gradually I'll learn how to relish that position of being a servant, and I'll give up my pride. Can we disregard having male or female bodies as instruments? No. You have to see what body you're in and act accordingly. In the Vedic culture, there is a varnashram system. And you act according to your body. Even though you're not the body, you see what kind of bodily covering you've gotten, and you engage according to that body in Krishna service. How to become a pure devotee? Pure devotee means that your only desire is to please Krishna with your every thought, your every word, and your every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. You said that we can fall once, not twice. Even if we have the free will, will we be able to remember suffering in the material world if we go back to home, back to Godhead? Prabhupada said, just as, it's a letter he wrote actually, just as Narada Muni was able to remember his previous lifetime, we'll also be able to remember. Remember how I was here in Melbourne suffering, but by the grace of Guru and Krishna, I got out of this position, and now I'm back in the spiritual world. We will remember it, and that will help us to stay there. Our remembrance of what we had to go through to get there will help us stay there. In your married life, do you ever fight or argue with Mataji? Sure. It's natural. But we always resolve it with Krishna. It's natural in a marriage. The husband and wife will disagree sometimes. Yeah. Every householder knows you'll have disagreements. But we always resolve it by Krishna consciousness. It's always resolved, you see, by Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
That proves that we are individuals.
Yeah.
Not by only one lump sum.
We have individual personalities. There's naturally going to be fights and disagreements. So you just have to put Krishna in the center, you see. It's not my way or the highway philosophy, you know. It's not that the husband should think I'm the Lord or the wife should think I'm the Lord. We should realize Krishna is the Lord and we're both the servants of Krishna. That resolves all conflicts, keeping Krishna in the center. How can I take a risk of marrying a stranger if I have to get an arranged marriage? Your arranger has to be good. If you have an arranged marriage, your arranger better be good. It's like I had a very good arranger. His name was Tamal Krishna Goswami. A very good arranger. He arranged this marriage I have here. You have to have a good arranger. Don't have an arranger who doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to get you stuck with a rakshasi or something like that. You know? Can I chant the next day? 2 times 16 rounds because the day before I didn't chant? Yes, you can, but don't make it a habit. Prabhupada says you can always make up your rounds the next day if you don't complete them. Prabhupada gives that concession in the Nectar Devotion. But try not to do it any more than you have to because, you know, then if you don't chant it today, you think, well, I'll make them up tomorrow. Then tomorrow you say, well, I'll make them up the next day. Then you got to do 32 the next day, right? Well, I won't do it, then I'll do it to 48, and then it gets to be 1,008, and you think, oh, what can I do? Now, go ahead and chant your rounds every day. Be kind to yourself. Chant your 16 rounds minimum every day. Keep yourself ahead of the game. If you have a hard time finishing your rounds, here's an easy little thing that'll make you expert in getting your rounds done every day. Don't take prasadam until you finish your rounds every day. Of course, if you get them done easily with no problem every day, you don't have to follow that. But this is an advice for those who have difficulty becoming fixed in 16 rounds. If you're in that position, just don't take prasadam until your rounds are done every day. And once you're fixed up and you can chant them with no problem, then you can take prasadam at the normal time. It's okay. But I give that as advice for those who are struggling and not able to do 16 rounds. Just don't take prasadam until your rounds are done. And now that the belly will force you to chant your round. Let's see. You get them done. Because actually, if you think about it, what's more important, feeding my soul or feeding my body? See, foods are fuel for the body, and Hare Krishna is fuel for the soul. So what's more important, feeding your body or feeding your soul? We have a tendency to think the body feeding is more important. That is our illusion. You understand? So we have to put feeding the soul as more important than feeding the body. And then take this 16 rounds as our most important work every day. You see? It's an interesting anecdote from my godbrother, who was Prabhupada's personal servant. He said, Prabhupada was chanting his round. He finished the round. He said, ah, enough. He says, 16 rounds finished. Now I can do any damn thing I want. Prabhupada says, he's like, it's like a sense of humor, making fun of us, actually. But the most important thing is to get those 16 rounds done every day. It really is. Get those rounds done. Otherwise, you're not fully alive. You're dead. You see? You're a dead man. If you don't do 16 rounds, you're a dead man. Yeah. Come to life. Chanting 16 rounds, now I'm alive. I'm alive. Now I can do something. I'm a live person again. Came out of the land of the dead by chanting 16 rounds. So that's it. Our questions are finished, and we thank you all so very much for your hearing very nicely and asking so many wonderful questions. May you all be blessed that you can have the awakening of pure love of God within your hearts very soon. Srila Prabhupada, yes? What's he saying, Debbie? Prabhupada, why did he give 64? Because that's a number, a traditional number given coming down from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. 64 rounds is, that was previously the standard, 64 rounds. But Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he had to adjust. Of course, in India, it wasn't so stressful. Even nowadays in India, it's not as stressful as working in Melbourne. And many people will tell you who work. Of course, now maybe the jobs in India are becoming more stressful too. But you know, in former times, now there's just so much more. The commuting takes so long. The work takes so long. There's so many. Our time is so much taken away by so many things in a modern day rat race society. That 16 rounds is a concession to help us. But formerly it wasn't so hectic. One could do 64 rounds. It wasn't such a hectic lifestyle, rat race type of lifestyle. It was more peaceful formerly. But 64 rounds was practical formerly before. Not so practical now, although one could do. Some devotees do that, who are like retired. Yes. What is she saying, Devi? Can somebody tell me what she was saying?
Prema Vivarta. The book called Prema Vivarta.
Prema Vivarta.
That book, it said that particularly, if they're not coming to the temple to do service,
she said in Prema Vivarta, it is mentioned that if somebody is not coming to the temple or is not doing any service, they can chant 64 rounds.
Okay. Yeah, if you're not doing service at the temple, chant 64 rounds. And if you're doing service at the temple, 16. That's not a good idea. Might get more service at the temple that way. I don't think I can do 64. I better go do some service at the temple. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.